and be glad in it. Don't wait too long. I shared this with the guys in at the jail on Tuesday night. And up until I shared it with them on Tuesday night, I had never shared what I shared with them with anybody. So there's a total of about 5 people in the world that know this. And now I'm going to share it with you all. I remember the very last words that I said to my dad. I remember the night before my dad died. And I remember it because it was during the year that the Twin Towers got hit. So the baseball season got pushed back a little bit later. So the World Series was finishing up in November. And so it was the game, it was actually the World Series game where there was the Diamondbacks versus the Yankees, and the Diamondbacks won. They had like a walk-off single, won the game. And it was late. My dad had got up because he heard the TV. He said, "What are you still doing up?" I was like, "The Diamondbacks just beat the Yankees." He was like, "All right, you got school in the morning." And I hugged his neck real tight. And I said, "I love you, Dad." He said, "I love you too, son. See you in the morning." And I said, "Don't wait too long," because normally I would have just not even given a second thought about hugging his neck. I would have said, "All right, I'm going to bed." But I didn't wait, because I'm glad I didn't. Because by 5 o'clock that afternoon, they were taking us in that room where they take you, where I'd never been before. But my dad had been in that room, and his brothers had been in that room. My grandma had been in that room to be told that their dad was dead. And everybody knew what was coming, but I didn't. And my brother didn't, and my mama didn't, but everybody else did. And I'm thankful my brother's not here, but I know that morning my brother didn't go to school because he said he didn't feel good. And my dad had got up a little bit later than normal, so he was kind of hurrying to get out. And he was like, "Boy," he's like, "I don't feel good, Dad." He's like, "All right." He's like, "I love you." He's like, "I love you, Dad. I'll see you this afternoon." God gave us both a chance to tell our dad we love him and hug him. And something that was a very, very normal thing. But when he come in there to tell me to go to bed, normally I would just be like, "All right, I'm going to bed, man." But I didn't wait. I was like, "Let me hug his neck. Let me tell him I love him." Sometimes it's okay not to wait. It's okay to go after it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith." Not yesterday faith, not tomorrow faith, not when you feel like it faith, now faith. Sometimes we got to walk in right now. We got to step in right now. We can't wait for the perfect opportunity. We can't wait for the perfect situation. I was talking on Tuesday night. I said, it's funny you have people who will come to church sick and leave sick because the pastor didn't preach on healing. Or because a prophet didn't come in and say, "If you pay me $50, I'll lay hands on you and you'll be healed." That's not prophetic. That's hallelujah for hire. That they're turning into a racket. If you need healing, don't wait for me to say, "Come stand here if you need healing." No, if you need healing, get here, because this is the day that the Lord has made. The time is now. It's right now. Not when you get home. Not when they preach the perfect sermon. Not when we sing the perfect praise and worship song. But right now. I love the woman with the issue of blood. She's probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because you know what? Anybody ever been pushed around? Anyone ever been kicked around? Anyone ever been just put off? They put her off from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor for 12 years until she finally ran out of money. And the thing that they knew on day one, they finally told her in year 12, "We couldn't help you day one. 12 years later, you ain't got nothing for us. Now we can tell you the truth. We've got you for everything that you've got. We've taken everything that you have. You're socially ostracized. You have an issue of blood, so you're considered ceremonially unclean. So you can't be with anybody and be around anybody or touch anything. And now we're going to finally tell you the truth. We couldn't do anything for you 12 years ago."
That's right.
But then she hears about Jesus. And she didn't say, "Well, I'll wait till he comes to my town. Or I'll wait till they put me in hospice, and then maybe Jesus will find out about it, No, she said, I got to get to where he is. And she said, not only do I got to get to where he is, I don't need him to say anything. I don't need him to do anything. I don't need him to call down the Holy Spirit. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get in his presence and touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be healed. But I can't wait over here sick on the wall anymore. I can't wait in the corner anymore. I can't wait for somebody else to come by and tell me another lie. I can't wait for somebody else to come by and try to sell me some more snake oil and another magic cure. I see the cure walking by. I see Jehovah Rapha, the healer, walking by. I've got to get to where he's at. She interrupted the very thing that Jesus was on his way to do. He was on the way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. Because guess what? When his daughter got sick, when Jairus' daughter got sick, he didn't go and start getting Pharisees. He didn't go and start getting Sadducees. He didn't go and start getting the leaders from the church. He came to the one. He came to the Messiah. He came to the rabbi, to the teacher. He came to Jesus and said, she's about to die. And I can't wait for you to come for Sunday dinner. I need you to come now. And I need you to get there quick. And she interrupted what they were going to do. Blind Barnabas, been blind all of his life. I've been dealing with this all my life. Sometimes enough is enough.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to say, I'm sick and tired. And I promise you, you won't say that you're sick and tired until you're really sick and tired.
That's right. Come on.
Blind Barnabas, in Mark chapter 10. Here's it, Jesus is coming through. And it says Jesus came into Jericho. I remember the last time someone shouted in Jericho, walls came falling down. I remember the last time someone shouted in Jericho, there was a great victory that happened. So Jesus comes into Jericho. And Blind Bartimaeus said, I can't wait till he comes and asks me if I want to be healed. Because he could just pass me on by. I can't wait for one of my friends to say, oh, come pray for my friend, Blind Bartimaeus. He said when he heard Jesus coming, he said, he began to scream, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And said the people around him got offended. And said the people around him said, shut up, be quiet. And the more they told him to shut up, the more he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it got Jesus' attention. And Jesus came to him and said, your faith has made you whole. But if he would have waited, if he would have been quiet, if he wouldn't have done anything, Jesus would have walked on by.
That's fine.
He didn't wait for Jesus to say, I'm doing a healing seminar next week. Come to the healing seminar. He said, I need healing right now. I need you right now. I need it to happen right now. Sometimes we wait and wait and wait because not waiting would mean we had to get up off the couch and do something. Not waiting would mean we might actually have to exercise our faith. Not waiting would mean that we might actually have to take a step of faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means I might have to take a step in the next direction that I don't know. Abraham went going not knowing. When God changed his name from Abram to Abraham and told him to take his wife and leave his mom and daddy's house, he said, go to the land that I will show you. Abraham had no idea where he was going, but he said, yes, Lord, I can't sit around here and wait anymore. I can't sit around here and wait for something to happen. You said go, and I've got to go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I can't think about what's going to happen tomorrow when I'm in right now, when I'm in crisis right now. I need you right now, God. Not next week. I need it right now. I know. Wait on the Lord. I understand that. And I'm not trying to be unbiblical or say that's not right, because that is right. In some situations, it is okay to wait on the Lord. But in some situations, we got to realize that faith without works is dead. And so if I want the healing, sometimes I got to go after it. If I want the deliverance, sometimes I got to step out and say, yes, I'm addicted to something. Yes, I've got a problem. And if you lay hands on me, I believe it'll happen. But also, if you just send the word to me, I believe I can be delivered. But you have to activate it. You have to step. Don't wait too long.
Bless you, Jesus.
That situation that Emily was saying, extenuating circumstances, I'll tell you, because I don't mind being honest with you. Her and I had separated. We were about to get a divorce. I was living in Virginia. She was here. I was getting ready to go to Savannah. We were barely making enough money to help her pay for rent, help her take care of the kids. Her dad was having to help her. Sophie was having to help her. You know, her family was having to help her. And she took a step of faith. She said, I waited long enough. I put my dreams on hold long enough. I put my stuff to the side long enough. I've done everything for everybody else long enough. It's time for me to step out and say, it's my turn. It's my turn to get my healing. It's my turn to step into my future. It's my turn.
Amen.
I'm not saying be arrogant. I'm not just saying, oh, it's me. I'm not saying me. But sometimes the kids are okay. They're taken care of. The house is clean. The cars are good. The bills are paid. It's my turn for me to step out, because I got a life too.
That's right. Amen.
Think about the man in the pool of Bethesda. Jesus comes up to him and asks him, do you want to be healed? And instead of him saying, absolutely, I want to be healed. Well, sir, you know, the water's troubled and I can't get in there and there's nobody to help me. And by the time I get there, somebody already beat me. He said, I didn't ask you for your life story. I didn't ask you to tell me everything you can't do and everything you haven't done. I said, do you want to be healed? The answer is yes or no.
That's right.
But some of us, and sometimes we want to be healed, but it's like, oh, well, if I get healed, they might cut my check out. If I get healed, I might actually have to get up off the couch and not sit there and eat potato chips all day long. If I get healed, I might actually have to go out to the world and be productive. If I get healed, Jesus, God, he might actually call me to do something for somebody else beside myself. No, I think I'll just stay sick. Don't wait too long.
That's right.
You keep that mentality up and you will stay sick and you'll die in that same sick bed. Sometimes you got to stand up and say, look, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look, I'm oppressed through the crowd. I'm weak. I'm bleeding. I'm crawling through my knees. I'm getting scraped up. But I just got to touch the hem of his garment. And I can't wait for him to pass me by. Because if he passes me by, I might never get this opportunity ever again.
Yes, amen.
I remember the day that she got the, when she called me and said, I've got a job interview. I'm like, you ain't even graduated college yet. About this time, I was home and, you know, we had made things better. I won't say we made things better. We made up. Things weren't better. We still had some ways to go. And if you've ever been married, it's never perfect. It's never, you know, it's not always unicorns, rainbows, sunshine, and rainbows, and sprinkles, and chocolate or vanilla ice cream. It's not. Marriage is hard. But don't wait too long to make it better. Don't wait too long to make up. Don't wait too long to say I'm sorry. Don't wait too long to forgive. Sometimes don't wait too long on what they said. Just let it go. But anyways, I was like, okay. And I've seen the doors that got open. And I remember when she called me and said she was going to go back to college. I was like, good. I wish you would have done this 10 years ago. But I didn't say that to her because I wanted to have somewhere to come home to. And whenever she did graduate, I've seen the smile on her face, because she didn't wait, because she stepped out in faith. When the woman with the issue of blood, we know her by the woman with the issue of blood. She doesn't have a name, but Jesus called her a name. It's the only time in the whole Bible he calls anybody this. When he tells his disciples, somebody touched me, and they're like, you okay, God? You got thousands of people around you. He's like, no. Somebody touched me and pulled on my anointing. Someone touched me and pulled power out of me. He seen her. She came to him and told him everything. He said, daughter. He didn't say sick person. He said daughter. He gave her a name.
Amen.
We need to stop calling her the one with the issue of blood. She's the daughter. He said daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more. Don't wait. The people at the pool of Bethesda, they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And the one that could have healed every single one of them was standing right there among them. And when he asked, I believe that's probably why he didn't go heal nobody else, because the first dummy he asked said, well, let me tell you 75 years of history about myself. No. Do you want to be healed? Yes or no? It's not a trick question.
That's right.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, says in verse 2 ends with, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Do not wait. Do not wait. Paul is writing to Timothy at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's in prison. He's writing to Timothy. And he says, I need you to come see me. My life's about to be over, and I need you to come and come quickly.
Yes, sir.
Bring my coat, bring my books, bring some paper for me. And you better get here before winter. You better get here before it's too late. You better get here before it's too late. As long as you got breath in your body, it's not too late. But what did Matthew chapter 6 say? Don't worry about tomorrow, because you know what? We're not promised tomorrow.
That's right.
As much as I love God and as anointed as I feel that I am, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to toot my own horn and light my own candle or anything like that. But I feel like I have an anointing in me. I'm not promised tomorrow.
No, that's right.
I probably annoy my wife with how much I tell her I love her. With how beautiful I think she is, every day I always make it a point, and to make sure. If don't nobody, well, nobody not related to you better be telling you you're beautiful today, because I'll be fighting. But
Lord, help me, Jesus.
I will be though. I would. But I want to make sure she knows how much I love her. I want my boys to know how much.
That's right.
I love them. I can't wait till they're 25 to finally tell them, oh, Daddy loves you. I had to be hard on you, but now you're old. No, I can still be hard on them and still love them. The Bible says that God, who He loves, He chastens.
That's right.
But I don't want them to, you know, I think, God, I hope He's not, I know He's not cruel, but sometimes, the enemy will try to bring up in my mind, I'm 36. My boys, they're 9 and 10, about to be 11. In 3 years, they'll be maybe a little bit older than me and my brother were when my dad died. And I'm only 3 years younger than my dad was when he died. And maybe I do it because maybe I think that maybe I might die at that age. Maybe, you know, I might die young. But I want my boys to know I love them. I want my boys to know there's nothing that their daddy wouldn't do for them. And I'm giving them the best training that I can give them, sitting on this front pew, sitting on this front row, worshiping and learning who God is. Because, like I said this morning, at 13 when my dad died, I thought my life, I didn't know where my life was going to go. But at 24, in a jail cell in Aiken, South Carolina, I had waited long enough. I had played long enough. I had beat around the bush long enough. And He arrested me right where I was at. He met me right where I was at. And from 24 to 36, it's been a whirlwind. And my life has been so much different, because when He said, this might be your last opportunity.
That's right. Blessed Jesus.
I said, okay, Lord, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of being like that church in Revelation, hot 1 minute, cold 1 minute, in the middle on the fence. I know who you are, but the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. I had had enough seasons. I was a veteran of seasons of sin.
Jesus.
And if he hadn't have met me right then, I probably would have still been drinking. I probably still would have been getting DUIs. I probably would have eventually killed somebody. But I didn't wait.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I was laying in that jail cell. And I began to sing. To him, I began to sing, Lord, I know that I'm not worthy to even call on your name. I said, I'm unworthy, Lord, to even come to you. Would you please come to me? Would you please meet me right where I'm at? And it was a hard prayer to pray. Because I was bitter and I was broken and I had let so much stuff just bounce off and held so much stuff in and held so much anger in and held so much in. I had held it in too long. I had waited too long to release it, and it came out in drinking and violence and everything like that.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you. I was laying in this. I told my wife, I said, I never knew how cold steel could be until they put it on your wrist and put your hands behind your back and there's nothing you can do about it. I never felt trapped until they shut that cell door, that jail cell behind me. And there, as much as I wanted to, as strong as I was, there was nothing I could do to open that door. That was a one of one experience for me. I was like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you do it once and you're never going to do it again. I was like, that was a one of one experience for me. That was my wake-up call.
Listen, Jesus.
Because the next one, it might not have been them arresting me. It might have been them putting a white sheet over me and calling my mama to come identify the body. I'm not telling you I've been perfect since then. I've messed up over and over and over again. But I'm not waiting. When I mess up, I know who I can run to. When I mess up, I know who I can go to. When I mess up, I know I have an advocate with the Father. When I mess up, I know where I can go.
Praise God.
I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about 3 weeks from now. I'm talking about right now.
Yes, amen.
We have no time to waste.
That's right.
My dad, one of the safest people I've known in my entire life, one of the most cautious and aware people I know in my entire life, killed in a car accident. One of the safest people I know, one of the most responsible people I know, somebody I knew who had plenty to live for, a wife, children to live for. Car accident. And I'm glad I knew he had it right with Jesus, because I know where he's at.
That's right.
I know I'll see him one day. But I'm not going to sit here and act like there ain't days where I wish I could pick the phone up and call him. Where I know days that the situation is kind of going on right now. If he was alive, he would have just stepped in the middle of it and taken care of it. Don't wait. I promise you. It's worth going after. He's worth pursuing. He's worth running into. He's worth chasing after. The Bible says if we'll draw near to him, he will draw near to us. But we gotta start walking. We can't just sit here and say, I'm gonna wait for you to pass me by. No, I'm gonna go be like the guys that came and found where Jesus was, and when they couldn't get in because it was full, they began to tear off the roof. They said, we got to get to him. We're not waiting anymore. I'm not waiting in line anymore. I'm not waiting for the number. I'm like the DMV. Everybody, you go to the DMV and they give you a number, and there's 9 counters, but there's 2 people working, and you're number 50 and they're on number 33. You're going to be waiting a while. I'm done. I'm ripping the number up. I'm not waiting anymore. I need to get to Jesus, and I need to get to him now, and I'm not letting anything stop me. I'm not letting the enemy stop me. I'm not letting what you think about me stop me. I'm going to get to him. Amen. And I'm going to get what I want. And I'm going to get what his promises are.
Amen.
But the time for waiting is over. We've waited too long.
Amen.
To stand up. That's why we got homosexuals preaching in churches right now. That's why we got transgenders preaching in churches right now. That's why we got people who are just not, we got more world in the church than we got church in the world right now, because we decide we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't care, your feelings can be hurt, but if your soul's saved, it was worth hurting your feelings.
Yes, amen.
If he comes and radically changes your life, it was worth stepping on your toes a few times. If he comes and he turns your life around the way he turned my life around, it was worth hurting your little feelings.
Yes. Amen.
He's not the God of my feelings, by the way.
That's right.
He's able to sympathize with my feelings, but I decide how I feel. I decide if my feelings are hurt or not. I decide if I'm offended or not. I tell you, it's time for us as the church to stand up.
Come on.
It's time for us to stop waiting around.
Yes,
we'll wait for opportunity. No, I'm taking my opportunity right now.
Yes.
Sin is sin, and sin is wrong. And if you sin, you are going to go to hell. If you die in sin, you're going to lift your eyes in hell.
Right.
Don't wait. God is love, and he'll love you, and you'll still die and go to hell because you didn't love him back, because you waited and said, I got another day, I got another moment, tomorrow everything will be okay. Do not wait.
That's right.
If y'all can't tell, in my real life, I'm pretty impatient. Other than with my kids, I'm pretty patient with them. But God has taught me how to be more patient. And be more patient with him. But he's also taught me where it's time to go. It's time to step out. It's time to get and jump into action. You can't just sit here and say, when I get home, I'll pray for you. No, you need prayer. Let me lay hands on you right now. I don't care where we're at. I don't care that we're standing in the gas station parking lot. I don't care where we're at. I'm not waiting, because this prayer could be the difference between your cancer being healed and you waking up dead tomorrow.
That's right. Amen.
I remember one time, David, he's been running from Saul, but then Israel's in battle, and they're all hanging back and scared, and Jonathan grabs his buddy and says, let's go. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of sitting here doing nothing. He said, if the Lord is with us, when we see these Philistines, they'll tell us to come down. And if he's not, I don't know what we're going to do. But we're not going to sit here anymore.
Right.
We're not going to step, and we're not going to stay here in silence anymore. And they went, and the Lord was with them, and they took them out. Time for waiting and saying, I'll do it later. It's over. We got to do it now. You need deliverance. Don't wait for me to preach on deliverance. You need healing. Don't wait for a pastor to preach on healing. You need a financial miracle. Don't wait for him to preach prosperity. If you need it, sometimes you just got to say, I know you didn't preach nothing about this message. Might not even been for me today, but this is what I need. And we'll get together and lay hands on you. The Bible says in James 5, he said, if there's any sick among you, bring them up, and then call the elders of the church together and let them lay hands on them, and they shall recover. It didn't say, well, preach on healing today and then heal people. No. If you need healing, sometimes you just got to step out in faith and say, I need healing. If you need something, you got to step out and say, I need it. I mean, we're good and anointed, but we ain't mind readers.
That's right.
That lady, she didn't know whether she was going to be healed or not. But she said, I'm going after it. Don Barnabas didn't know if he would say you're healed or not, but he said, I'm going after it. Without her sitting around and sitting on our hands and saying, oh, it might happen today. Oh, it might happen tomorrow. No, I'm not waiting. I am going to get involved. God's not asking you, let him be in control. But you need to be involved sometimes. Sometimes you've got to work. Sometimes you've got to put in some sweat equity. Sometimes you've got to get off the couch. Sometimes you've got to get in your car and go meet the people down at the Madison on Monday. And you might have a word for the people that are in the retirement home. Sometimes you got to say, I can sacrifice an hour on Tuesday night to go to the jail and preach to these people who are in jail. Sometimes you've got to stop worrying about your precious time, because it's really God's time.
That's right.
And I don't know about y'all. I'm glad. Even though it annoys my wife. I'm glad I don't waste an opportunity to come and give her a hug. And come and give her a kiss. And tell her how beautiful she is. I'm glad I don't waste an opportunity to tell my boys how much I love them, to hug their neck. I'm glad I don't waste an opportunity when I get up here to give y'all everything that I got.
Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah.
To preach like it might be the last time I ever get to. Because if one thing that we say, or one thing that we do, keeps somebody from going to hell, or one thing that we say, or one thing that we do, gets somebody to get in their prayer closet and begin to pray earnestly, and they get healed and delivered, or somebody comes and steps out in faith for the first time and lets somebody lay hands on them, it was worth it.
Yes, amen.
It was worth it. Even if it was just one, it was worth it.
Amen.
I remember one time when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and there's one version in one of the Gospels. When Judas comes and kisses him on the cheek, he looks at Judas and says, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. Do it quickly. Don't beat around the bush. Do it quickly. Because the sooner I die, then the sooner I can get buried. And the sooner I get buried, the sooner I can rise. And the sooner I rise, the sooner I can go to the Father. And the sooner I go to the Father, the sooner I can send the Holy Spirit. I want to read y'all something that I wrote. It said, the Bible consistently implores us to wait on the Lord. Waiting builds strength, helps us build our faith and trust in God, and it teaches us patience. There are a few people in the Bible who, when they had waited or been overlooked, they decided it was time to step up in faith. They needed a right now, immediate, all of a sudden miracle. I believe that waiting is paramount in our walk with God. But I also believe He wants to see us put our faith into action and believe for the right now, praise for the right now, move for the right now, and know that He will honor that as well.
Amen.
I don't need your fake humility. Say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord, brother. I don't need that. And guess what? He don't need that either. I need some bold people to say, I need it and I need it now, God.
Yes.
I don't mind if I have to wait a little bit, but you know what timeline I'm looking at, God. You know what the doctor has said, God. But the Bible says, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And sometimes if I do have to wait, I'm not going to wait with my head down. I'm not going to wait in a hole. I'm not going to wait in silence. Sometimes while I'm waiting, every time while I'm waiting, I'm going to be worshiping. While I'm waiting, I'm going to be praising. While I'm waiting, I'm still going to be moving. I'm not going to let it stop me just because I haven't got it yet. But sometimes I need it right now, God. We'll say we need it right now and then leave without it. Come say a 3-minute prayer at the altar and then come back next Sunday still messed up, still jacked up, still sick, still hurting. I've said a 3-minute prayer at the altar. That should have been all it took. No, sometimes you got to stay and you got to say, God, I ain't letting go. You got to be like Jacob. Lord, until you bless me, I'm not letting go. If I got to wrestle you all night, if you got to knock my hip out of socket, if I got to give up everything that I worked for, I need something from you and I'm not letting go and I'm not stopping until I get it.
Yes, amen.
Matthew 6 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own troubles. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith. Believe God was trying to tell us. It's a day by day thing. Now faith. Right now faith. I don't need you trying to fight tomorrow's problem with today's faith. I don't need you trying to fight yesterday's problem with today's strength. Right now, I need you to be present and in the moment, in the right now. Because if I'm looking into tomorrow, I'll miss everything that He's trying to do today. If I'm looking 3 weeks from now, I'll miss what He's trying to do in the very moment. That's why David said, Hebrews 1:18-24, he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the one I'm going to rejoice in because this is the one that I'm in. Don't mean that everything's going perfect in it. Don't mean that I've got everything that I need in it, but I'm going to rejoice in it anyway. I know that if I call on Him, He'll meet me. I know that if I call on Him, He will answer. I know that I call on Him, just like David in Psalm 34 said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from my fear. I sought Him. I didn't just seek Him or pray one time. I sought Him. I got earnest about it. I got intentional about it. And I didn't wait. If y'all don't get anything this morning, get this. Do not wait too long. Amen. Don't wait too long. Amen. There's many people in hell who have sat in pews and said, I'll do it next Sunday.
That's right.
Who've sat in revivals and said, next revival comes around, I'm definitely going to give my life to Jesus. There's plenty of people that are in hospices right now that could have been healed if they stepped out in faith. Don't wait too long. We're not promised tomorrow. You have breath in your lungs right now. You have an able body right now. Your mouth can work right now. Do it right now. Because if I don't wake up tomorrow, I've told my wife 5 times a day that I know she's beautiful. I've told her 100 times a day that I love her. I've hugged my boys and loved on them. My mama's here. I've hugged her and told her that I love her. If that's the last thing that the people I love hear, I didn't wait too long.
That's right.
And then they know it wouldn't just be something I said, because I've lived it in their presence that I love them. I've shown them that I love them. Have I been perfect? No. Have I been the perfect son? No. Have I been the perfect husband? I don't know. I feel like I have, but you can ask her. Have I been the perfect dad? Definitely haven't been the perfect dad, you know. But their opinion might be different. I have a biased opinion on how great of a husband I am, okay? But seriously, don't wait, guys. Don't wait. I know my dad is glad that he got up to tell me to turn the TV off. And even though I know that when he died, his heart was broken by other people that should have loved him. That's right. I know it was full because he had a wife and kids that loved him.
Yes, Jesus.
And the last words he got to say to his wife was, I love you. The last words he got to say to his boys the night before was, I love you. And it wasn't like it was an odd thing for our dad to tell us he loved us. He showed it. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants you to be set free. The Bible said that God showed His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died to save us. It said we love Him because He first loved us, that He has given us a love. He can still love you and you can still die sick. 2 things can be true. There's plenty of people out there that have cursed His name and denied Him, and guess what? He's still standing there with arms wide open. If they would walk to Him and stop waiting, He would save them and radically change their life. Because guess what? My God loves me. I can't hurt His feelings. I can't offend Him. He might not be pleased with me sometimes, but He still loves me because I'm His child. He spoke and breathed the breath of life into That's me. Right. It's His breath that lives in me. It's His blood that has washed me white as snow and washed you white as snow. I'll end it with this. My boys know that there's only a few things in our house that they have to ask, can they have some of? If they want a soda, they obviously have to ask because we don't want them drinking a whole bunch of sugar and rotting the teeth out of their mouth. Plus, we spend a lot of money on braces and dental care already. And certain snacks that are, hey, no, that's just for school or whatever. But other than that, anything else that's in that house, as long as it's safe for them, as long as it's not going to harm them, they can have. They don't have to ask. Because if their daddy's got it and their mama's got it, then they got it because they're children, they're sons.
That's right.
Your Heavenly Father has all these gifts. Gifts of healing he wants to give you. Gifts of knowledge. Gifts of prophecy. All these gifts he wants to give you. And he is just sitting there ready to hand them out. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Sometimes you got to say, yes, Lord. If it's mine, give it to me. I want it. Don't wait too long. I'd hate to go to heaven. And when he's taking me to my mansion that he's built specifically for me, hopefully with a pool and a tanning bed, because I like to stay tan during the summertime. I don't want him there to be a room locked that I can't get in. Because he knows if I opened it, I would be disappointed with every gift because I waited too long that he would have had for me. Every healing that he had for me. Every encounter that I waited too long and I let it pass me by and I didn't go pray for somebody or I didn't fall down and pray when I should have. There's probably going to be some things in that room. I'm not saying there's not. But I don't want it to be full. Maybe one or two. Hopefully nothing, but you know, if there's one or two, I'll be okay with one or two things. I can live with that, but I can't live without him, and that's neither fine. Can you. If you're watching this message later on by media, Pastor, I know that I have went over my time. I'm so sorry. Listen. But I had to get this message out of me this morning.
Listen.
So if you're watching this later by media, do not wait. Now is the time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 that now is the acceptable time and that today is the day of salvation. Don't let another day go by without calling him Lord and Savior. Don't let another day go by without crying out to him, and he'll meet you right where you're at. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2 that on that day, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cry out with a loud voice, and he'll meet you right where you're at. But you cannot wait, because when time is up, time is up. Do not wait. We love you. We hope you are blessed. We will see you next week. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you.